For KVSC News, I'm John Peterson, here joined with Jeff Allerson of St. Cloud State University Health Services. He is the Assistant Director for Health Promotions and Marketing here on campus. Today's topic, we are going to be talking about e-cigarettes. The state of Minnesota has really been cracking down on e-cigarettes. They've gotten to be very popular with younger kids, and I've also seen other age groups enjoying those e-cigarettes as well. We'll be talking about what St. Cloud State has to know about e-cigarettes, where they are allowed and where they are not allowed. But first, Jeff, let's flash back a little bit a year ago where St. Cloud State implemented their tobacco-free policy. Can you update us on how the year has been with that policy?
Yes. So again, my name is Jeff Allerson with Student Health Services. So obviously, St. Cloud State does have a tobacco-free policy. It's kind of changed over the past few years. In 2012, we had a tobacco-free policy. So all tobacco, smokeless, smoking, cigarettes, hookah, they were all prohibited for use on St. Cloud State property. In 2013, we had very good success with that policy, but in 2013, we decided to add a little bit of teeth to the policy, per se. We had a lot of people wondering, how do we enforce the policy if there are no sanctions or any fees associated with breaking a policy? So we did take those opinions and decided to add some sort of teeth to the policy. So if a St. Cloud State student is found smoking or using tobacco on campus, by public safety, they will issue a warning first. And if they are caught twice, they will be sanctioned to talk to a student conduct officer. From there, the conduct officer can either decide what type of sanction they want to deliver, or they can give them a $25 fee, and they may have to take an educational class regarding tobacco use. A third violation could result in another meeting with your conduct officer, and they can kind of decide from there on out how they want to proceed with that. So that's kind of how the current policy works as well. So,
as the steps were implemented this past year, were there any things that popped up that you weren't aware of in the beginning? Was there any trial or error that happened?
Right away, when we first decided to go along with the fees, we thought that public safety might be a little overwhelmed with delivering citations, because there are certain hotspots on campus where there are people smoking, and we do realize where these hotspots are, and we inform public safety about where these are so they can be better educated and approach these students, because we're all about education first. We don't necessarily want to implement these fees without people understanding the policy. So public safety has been just excellent working with us and educating our students about the policy. There hasn't been as many violations as we first anticipated, which is great. So we're offering that leniency there. That's really the only thing that we were surprised about, of the lack of citations. But again, it's a good surprise. They do have a decent amount of approaches per month, and we do record how many people public safety does approach every month. And those numbers are pretty decent. So we're always happy with that, too. So
when you looked at the tobacco-free policy, was for cigarettes, it was for tobacco products. When you implemented this policy, was there anything in hand that you thought was going to be used more than others, that you think that the policy really didn't treat each of those products the same? Or was it knowing that with tobacco is tobacco?
Yep, good question. Usually when you think of a tobacco-free policy, you immediately think of cigarette smoking, because it's pretty obvious if someone is smoking a cigarette. So with that in mind, we kind of thought maybe smokeless tobacco, so chew tobacco numbers would rise. But in reality, chew tobacco numbers actually decreased as well. From 2011 to 2013, it did decrease almost by half. So the tobacco-free policy did help in that respect as well, when we did thought those numbers might possibly rise. So
now, getting into the talk about e-cigarettes, that's our main topic for today's conversation here on 88.1 FM KVSC. Was that of any concern when this was implemented last fall? Was it any concern of having e-cigarettes being a factor in this policy?
We always had it in the back of our mind. When the policy first came about in 2011, we included hookah, cigarettes, and chewless tobacco, there was knowledge of e-cigarettes, but it was not included in the policy. Some campuses did include it in their policy, but we chose not to. But in, with the growing popularity of tobacco-free policies at universities, workplaces, a lot of public areas now going tobacco-free and also including e-cigarettes, we decided to go that way as well, not only for various reasons, but first and foremost because Minnesota legislation did include e-cigarettes in the Minnesota Clean Indoor Air Act. So obviously we're following along with that legislation. So,
what was the education on campus about e-cigarettes? I mean, what did you guys know, like the health services as a whole or other departments, what was the education that you knew about e-cigarettes before they became popular?
Our staff, we've done a lot of education surrounding the topic. I've talked to some national experts on the topic. We've done a lot of webinars on the topic through experts at the University of Minnesota, experts at the Minnesota Department of Health. So we've really taken upon ourselves to educate ourselves about the topic of e-cigarettes. So we are a resource person to answer any questions that people may have about e-cigarettes. So just this last year, we've tried to do some more campus-wide education. We've done some tabling events in Atwood surrounding the topic of e-cigarettes. There's been a couple of community agencies that have come to campus and have done some tabling events regarding the topic of e-cigarettes. So we've really tried to educate our campus about e-cigarettes. Our tobacco-free website also has a full spectrum of information regarding the topic of e-cigarettes. Any frequently asked question that you may have about e-cigarettes is available to you on the health service page as well as St. Cloud State's tobacco-free webpage.
When you had those tables on campus to educate people about e-cigarettes, did you find anything that was the main question for students?
Yes. The topic always surrounds, are they safe to use? Is there any secondhand issues associated with e-cigarettes? Do they work for cessation? So those are really our top three questions. Are they safe to use? Is there any secondhand vapor issues with them? And are they okay to use as cessation devices? Those are really the three main questions that we got.
So yes, there were questions, there were concerns from the students about what we can do with e-cigarettes. Jeff, go ahead and elaborate a little more on the FAQs that students or faculty had about e-cigarettes on campus.
Great. So again, one of our main questions were basically, are e-cigarettes safe to use? There's a lot of research out there going both ways, but we like to follow our respected resources here in Minnesota. And first and foremost, we get a lot of information from the Minnesota Department of Health because they do have experts on the topic, and they have done a lot of research regarding e-cigarettes. So first and foremost, e-cigarettes are not currently regulated by the FDA. So there is no body of evidence proving that e-cigarettes are safer than smoking or that their vapors are safe to inhale. And it just cannot be assumed that e-cigarettes are safe to use based off of the current research and what has been shown in the past. Research has shown that vapors from some e-cigarettes do contain chemicals known to cause cancer. And a lot of those chemicals are used in industrial manufacturing practices that are also included in the vapor and the solution or the e-cigarette juice that goes into e-cigarettes. Some e-cigarettes also contain nicotine, which is highly addictive, and it can harm pregnant mothers and their babies and damage adolescent growth and brain development. And nicotine can also be found in the vapors that come out of e-cigarettes as well. Some studies have also shown that e-cigarettes can change lung function. It can increase airway resistance, increase the chance of severe forms of pneumonia and other rare lung conditions, but they do exist. Although these numbers of rare lung conditions from e-cigarettes are low, it does mimic the trends from the 1960s and 50s when it was discovered that tobacco cigarettes or conventional cigarettes were carcinogenic. A couple other questions that we get a lot. Can e-cigarettes help people quit using conventional cigarettes? So are they a reliable cessation device? There has been a lot of research surrounding this topic as well. But again, e-cigarettes are not FDA-approved cessation devices. And again, there's no body of evidence that proves e-cigarettes do help people quit smoking. There have actually been numerous studies out there that have shown no significant difference between e-cigarettes, nicotine patches, gum, lozenges, or placebo e-cigarettes with respect to their ability to reduce or eliminate smoking. In fact, some individuals that use dual methods, so they use conventional cigarettes and e-cigarettes to try to quit smoking, these individuals were less likely to quit smoking altogether. So again, gum, patch, lozenges, so conventional FDA-approved cessation devices play similar roles in helping people quit than e-cigarettes do. And again, people that do use e-cigarettes oftentimes go back to smoking conventional cigarettes.
A couple more things here on e-cigarettes. There's been a lot of places opening up around the area that are selling e-cigarettes. Was there any concern or anything that you guys have talked about upon that issue? Because there's been a lot of places downtown, a lot of places on the east side that are opening up just for e-cigarettes.
Yep, that is correct. E-cigarettes are pretty much all the rage right now. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon per se, but Minnesota has taken some action on this issue. When legislation starts, included in the e-cigarette bill, people can no longer sample e-cigarettes in the store. There can no longer be e-cigarette kiosks. They do have to start using compliance checks, so making sure that kids under 18 are not purchasing these e-cigarettes, so there can be consequences for these vendors for selling to minors. So again, the compliance checks are huge. Hopefully in the near future, actually I think in 2015 it is, that e-cigarette manufacturers have to start child-proofing the e-juices. There has been a huge uprise in nicotine poisoning among children due to the consumption of these juices that go into the e-cigarette. So child-proofing the juices is huge, another step. So those are just some legislation-type things that have happened very recently.
Now, with your experience here on campus, have you seen them at all? I mean, have there been any places where you've seen kids? I know that in the student union is the main place where I've seen it. It's been in the booths by Sixth Street Grill, Subway, and then I've seen it within outside. But as a matter of fact, Jeff, I've seen them more inside than actually outside.
Yep, personally, walking around campus, I think I've only seen an e-cigarette used twice. Once was outdoors. And once was in Atwood. But we do hear reports that come into our tobacco-free committee that we do have here on campus, that people are reporting seeing people use e-cigarettes in classrooms on campus. So people aren't really sure how to approach that, and people were unsure if they are included in the tobacco-free policy or not. So this new implementation of the e-cigarettes into the policy is really going to clear up a lot of confusion surrounding the topic of e-cigarettes. So people are going to know that they are not allowed, especially indoors and on campus. I know talking to some students that had people use e-cigarettes in their classrooms that they did find it a distraction. They did find it a little confusing because a lot of e-cigarettes look just like conventional cigarettes. So it always raises a little bit of confusion regarding and surrounding the policy. So I think it's a good step in the right direction to include them, especially indoors, just for the lack of clearing up any confusion around the policy and whether is someone using a regular cigarette or not. So,
and just a couple facts here from the new legislation that took place July 1st from the Minnesota Department of Health. Minnesota prohibits e-cigarette use in several public places, including government buildings, public schools, and most healthcare facilities. Some residential healthcare facilities have smoking rooms where e-cigarettes can still be used. Under the Minnesota Clean Indoor Air Act, e-cigarette use is now subject to the same prohibitions and restrictions as smoking in some locations, such as licensed daycare, including family home daycare during hours of operation, buildings and vehicles owned or operated by public school districts, healthcare facilities and clinics, except residents of residential healthcare facilities or psychiatric units, and buildings owned or operated by the state of Minnesota, as well as Minnesota cities, counties, and townships. That includes facilities owned owned by the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities and the University of Minnesota. That's just to name a few. So yes, Jeff, there's been a lot of great information that you have said today in today's interview. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just go through a quick little summary of kind of what we talked about and what our main concerns are with the e-cigarettes. So again, just from research that we have gathered from the Minnesota Department of Health, the CDC, and again, all the nationally well-known experts on the topic of e-cigarettes, that secondhand e-cigarette vapors have not been proven safe to inhale. E-cigarettes have not been proven as a safe alternative to smoking or help people quit. There's no way for us, for users, to know how much nicotine or how much potentially harmful chemicals that they are inhaling due to the lack of regulation of e-cigarettes. Another thing is that e-cigarette use is a rapidly increasing use among our youth, and it's nearly doubled from 2011 to 2012. And the number of adults who have tried e-cigarettes has nearly doubled since 2010. E-cigarettes are easily accessible. They're very enticing to our youth. Most e-cigarette manufacturers are owned and run by current conventional cigarette companies like Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, so they are profiting off of e-cigarettes as well. So they are targeting our youth. E-cigarettes may renormalize tobacco use and complicate smoke-free laws. And again, e-cigarette ads encourage people to use them in places where smoking is not allowed. So those are just kind of a quick summary of the main concerns that we have. So,
Jeff Allerson of St. Cloud State University Health Services. He is the Assistant Director for Health Promotions and Marketing. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to hearing a lot more about what the tobacco-free policy will implement in the future with e-cigarettes.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.